Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Lee Cantor here with Stone Payton, another episode of Atlanta Business Radio, and it is one of my favorite ones, the ones I look forward to most every month. It is the Thai special. How you doing, Stone?
I am doing well, getting fired up about my trip to Statesboro. You know, me and the fam, we're headed down to Georgia Southern. I'm going to get a chance to cruise the restaurants and the bars, and I don't know, we'll try to make time to look at the dorm and hear a little bit about the educational opportunities down
there. While you're there.
as long as we're going to be there anyway. But no, I, just like you, man, I always look forward to having the Thai folks in here. This is going to be a fantastic segment we have with us. Back in the studio, and no stranger to the Business Radio X microphone, we've got founder and managing principal with Element Funding, Mr. Paul Lopez. Welcome back, man. Good to see you.
Thank you.
And we also have director with SBDC at Georgia State University, Mr. Jeff Patterson. Glad to have you, man.
Thank you for having me.
So, Paul, why don't we start with you? You are pretty active with the TYE University competition. Why don't you share a little bit about that, how it got started, and what you guys are doing?
Sure. One of the things we discovered at Thai Atlanta, which is the world's largest entrepreneurial nonprofit organization started 20 plus years ago at Silicon Valley, was that we had a gap in our strategy, which was serving the college population in their ventures for entrepreneurship. So when I got onto the Thai membership a year and a half ago, they asked what would I like to do, and I said I'd like to fill the gap. Mm-hmm. So a year ago, we kicked off something called the TYE for Thai Young Entrepreneurs Competition, and last year we had eight universities represented from across the state of Georgia with 12 teams. I'm very, very pleased as a startup into the second year to tell you that we now have 13 universities in this year's competition with 22 teams.
Now, throughout the Thai ecosystem, there's no other university program like this?
I take it back, there is actually an interesting combination. There is one that I've judged virtually in Europe and Asia. So the Thai Global Organization runs stuff in Europe and Asia with schools that are just fantastic at being able to foster entrepreneurship among the student population. They, in turn, do not run anything in North America. They then partner up with Rice University in Houston, Texas, mm-hmm. to do that. We someday, once we grow beyond Georgia, might consider becoming part of that North American chain.
That's kind of what's neat about Thai. They are like a startup organization where they allow their chapters to iterate and to try different things, right?
You know, as long as we're helping our students create jobs, create mm-hmm. wealth, et cetera, that's really what we want to do. There's not a competition about it. It's really a cooperation.
Right. And then you can take best practices and then roll it out throughout all the chapters.
Absolutely.
So now, you saw how successful the high school program was, and you said, I'm going to try it in the university systems. Was it difficult to get traction within the universities?
Well, you know, like anything, it's networking, networking, networking. Having been a recovering university professor, I think it actually wasn't as hard as I thought. But the most important part that helped me was I happened to know the district director at the Small Business Development Centers. Mm-hmm. They, in turn, have boots on the ground across many universities. Lydia Jones became the co-chair with me last year, is still partially the co-chair before she retires in a few weeks. And together with what Lydia's network is among the university population and then my getting to know folks across the business schools, we've been able to actually grow this very, very well. Like I said, we intended to do 10 universities, 15 teams this year just within the state of Georgia. We're at 13 universities and 22 teams.
And how many universities are there in Georgia?
There's got to be 40, 50, et cetera. So we're not stopping.
There's room to grow. Now, what type of what does it look like from the student standpoint? What do they have to do and what happens at the end?
So what happens is that they're self-nominated teams. They pick a set of teammates that are going to launch a business. We prefer that they actually do plan to do the real business mm-hmm. at the end of the competition, or they may have just started one with real revenue. And what they do is they find a faculty advisor, they nominate themselves, and then there are two steps they go through. The qualifying round will be held at the Atlanta Technology Development Center, ATDC, downtown here on the 21st of February. And out of those 22 teams, we expect about 6 or 8 teams will then go forward to the finals, which will be part of Taikon Southeast on the 18th April. We will then give the top 3 teams prizes of $5,000, $3,000, and $2,000. But we'll mentor and coach all the teams
throughout the whole process
so that, therefore, the real win is you get to network, you get to understand resources.
Now, is there any coaching or team formation help, or are they kind of on their own at that stage?
Because they are part of universities, unlike our high school program that doesn't necessarily, you know, we actually teach classes in the Thai high school program. In the universities, they already do a lot of stuff on entrepreneurship. So all we're doing is helping the networking, and then we provide some coaching and mentoring. In fact, on the 21st, we have put aside a half a day for just coaches and mentors that are part of either Thai membership or SBDC counselors to come through and help these teams. And then between the February timeframe and the April timeframe, we will offer a lot more coaching and mentoring.
And that's more structured, like there's like regular meetings?
We really think that at a university level, having now been with university students a lot, I can tell you, you don't want to overly structure. I tell them the world doesn't act that way. You go to get venture capital, there isn't a one recipe for that. If you want to, you know, get an advisory board, there's not a recipe. So we tell them what we really want them to do is become Thai members, student members. Mm-hmm. And that way they can take advantage of all the many things that Thai resources do, in addition to reaching out to SBDC, who has, and maybe I can have Jeff tell you,
sure,
the tremendously rich, wide, and all free programs that they offer.
I like free. Talk to me, Jeff.
Well, the SBDC network has been around since the 70s, and we are mostly university-based, and we do the consulting and educating that Dr. Lopez mentioned, and there are 17 centers throughout Georgia. Our mission basically is to help existing businesses grow, and on the flip side of that, we also help any new entrepreneur launch his or her product. And we are there to consult and educate on wherever their pain point really is. So we have scattered throughout our network marketing experts, HR experts. I happen to be an old banker, so number one, the request coming in the door is, how do I find capital? So I think that's why I'm on the team. I tend to talk banker-ese, if you will, but most of the time we help coach small businesses on finding that capital, but it could be marketing, HR, and we are university employees, so it is a free service. It is a confidential service.
So are the demographics of the people you serve, are they mainly college students that are going through this, or are they kind of more seasoned veterans that have their own?
Any old men with broken dreams like me and Lee that want to try to get something accomplished?
You're right in our sweet spot. We don't ignore the undergrads or the MBA students on our universities, but most of our clients are existing business, are older, you know, have the dream, and our job is to try to help them get to the goal line. And you know, if you're already an existing business, if you're already you know, in that contact sport, we like to say, we'll help you in any way we can. And yeah, you old guys want to come along, we'll help you
but
anyway.
It's not just for brand new business. It could be a business at any level.
Any level, that's correct. Our sweet spot really is for if you've been around 3 years or so, you have some
scar tissue. That's the word you're looking for.
Well, that's true. If you have income, you have a couple of employees, we'd love to help you. We like to say that we can help you with the C-level stuff that you really can't afford to get right now, but we'll help you get there as quick as we can. We don't turn our back on the startups or the those folks, but
What if you're like an executive, maybe we're just laid off, and you're thinking, hey, you know what, I'm going to be a consultant now. I'm going to go and build out this consultancy. Do you get any clients like that?
We do. We get an occasional consultant, and They know how to do their particular expertise, but they may not know how to pay the bills or
run a business.
Mm-hmm, right. So yeah, we do a lot of that training as well, and it's a lot of doctors, a lot of CPAs, a lot of professional people like that that know their profession and may not know how to hire people the correct way or know how to interview folks and ask the right questions. And
what a great example, though. Yeah. Like I don't know, but I suspect when you go to dental school, you probably don't get a whole heck of a lot of business education. You got to run a business, right?
That is correct. And for example, we do a lot of work in the medical field. We teach just at Georgia State. We do collaborate with the nursing folks and help them. We get calls all the time from attorneys that are just graduating from law school and they need that help. Although there are those classes and those competencies offered. But you're exactly right. They tend to focus on their expertise, and so that's where we can fill the gap.
So now there's, like you said, you're a banker, and there's HR people, there's probably marketing people. There's for every aspect of business, you have people that are either people who have done it before that can share their knowledge.
Yeah, most of our guys and gals have MBAs or graduate degrees. That's really not... one of the most important things, the most important thing I think is that we've been there and actually been on the firing line of running our own business. Most of our folks have done that. So then
you're able to help them. They don't have to come in and say, help me with everything. They can say, I have an HR problem.
That's right.
And then you can match them up with maybe one of the HR executives.
That's right. We can, we collaborate all over. We Skype, we do conference calls all the time.
So it's not even in person. So they can contact you. And then if maybe the specialist for their what they need is in a different city, even you can refer them to them and they can talk over the phone.
That is correct. On my team, I have a guy that has been there a long, long time. His expertise is procurement, doing business with the government. I have another person on my team at Georgia State that deals in certifications and those kind of things. She's also marketing. I've got a person that... knows manufacturing and patent process pretty well. We stop short of giving you legal advice or any kind of tax advice or anything like that, but we'll get you the general information you need, hopefully, to make a wise decision.
What about do they get access to your network? Like if they come to you, you're a banker, and go, look, this is what I need for a loan or something, can you help me structure the paperwork properly, and then also go, hey, you know what? Let me contact you with Bill over at this bank.
You're the guy who knows the guy, right?
That's exactly. Yeah. It's all about networking, as Dr. Lopez talked about earlier. We do have a network of bankers that we talk to on a regular basis, and we try to marry up that capital with the request. The main value add that our consultants bring to the table, I think, is we will get you we'll get your business plan to where it's a thoughtful, good presentation, and then we also we have a lot of templates that we use for financial projections. We get to access the university library for benchmarking information, so. If you come in and you say, you know, I think my sales are going to be $1 million, and someone in your industry that's been around 10 years, their best number is maybe 500,000, right. We're going to make sure you don't embarrass yourself when you go in to talk to the banker. So we hope we're credible with the bankers. We get the business plan and those projections pretty good presentable order. So, again, and we do coach them on going in to see the banker or whomever the investor might be. So.
But you're not doing the work. You're just telling them where to find the information?
No, actually, we do pull some work. We give them the reports. We may make the keystrokes on the projections for them, but the narrative piece they will do. We'll give them, we'll give them the feedback they need to do that. We'll review business plans, the narrative piece. It's got to be their work.
Right.
Because it's them making the pitch, if you will. So,
now, are there like two or three holes in everybody's swing almost, or two or three things you see just all the time and you're like, yep, here we go again.
Everybody's intimidated by the projections. They don't, They'll overstate the income and understate the expenses. So that's a human trait, I think. But that's a common denominator we see all the time.
And you've gotten good at helping them realize that, because you've got to find a way to almost like help them self discover, right? You just hit them right between the eyes and say, "Look, Joe."
Well, we try to have a good bedside manner here now. So we will tell them, you know, what we think, but in the end, it's up to them to make the right choice, if you will. But the other thing that you mentioned, holes in the or swing and a miss, if you will. There's a lot of marketing help. That's probably another biggie that we help.
I bet a lot of them don't even have their own radio show, Lee.
Well, hey.
They'll walk in there with a business plan, and nowhere in there is there, "We're underwriting a show."
We need to help.
Can you believe that?
That's shocking. Now, do you have any stories that maybe were rewarding for you, or some success stories that you were able to help somebody get over the hump?
We actually do have a lot of success stories. We talk about those at least on a semi-annual basis. Our one particular client that comes to mind of mine works a day job, if you will, and then had the idea of starting a uniform or children's clothing store for private schools, whatnot. But she picked an area, and again, this is where we can help. She picked an area where she thought there was no competition. And we pretty much confirmed that with some demographic studies and such. And she found a spot to lease, and we talked about the timing of the opening and making sure before the fall classes started. She launched. We got a little money for the deal, and she is open and a going concern now. Hired actually a couple of people, so that's a biggie for us.
Nice.
Anytime we can help generate jobs, that we do the happy dance on that. So,
is that one of the metrics that you're kind of judged, like where you're high-fiving in the office, is creating jobs?
It is. Creating jobs, again, getting those businesses to the next level helps our economy grow. As you guys know, most of the jobs in our country is we can owe that to the entrepreneurs and the small business owners. So we do celebrate those every chance we get.
Now, is getting like an SBA loan, is that something that you help with as well?
We do. The SBA folks, we're fortunate to get a little funding from them. So one of our metrics is capital formation. We track that. We are pretty well versed in the requirements for SBA lending and their products. We do actually workshops for SBA in Atlanta quite often, so we know those folks real well. We work well with them, but we can get you, and then the banker takes over, obviously, but we can get you pretty well headed in the right direction on those SBA products and what it takes and how to qualify, or if there's a hole today, maybe come back in 6 months when, you know.
Well, now, see, there's a good point, because I wonder if there aren't some entrepreneurs or even aspiring entrepreneurs who are thinking, you know, as soon as Aunt Mabel gets through surgery and I get my kids settled, and then, you know, after the kids are back in school and I have a little bit more money, then I'll go and start talking to folks about getting my – but the sooner the better, really, right? So you can plan.
Absolutely. And it is all about planning. You don't just do this overnight. There needs to be a thought process. You need to think about who your customers are. You need to think about where those customers are, and then you need to think about how you're going to fit their needs. And there are competition. You know, there's competition out there, so you've got to figure out where you can make a difference and bring value, and then hopefully those customers will find you. But yeah, it takes a while. And the other swing and miss, back to your point earlier, is most people come in and they think in the projections, "Oh, I'm going to make money the first month." No, you're I mean, that would be great if you did, but most times it takes 6 to 12 months to dig out of the hole. So you want to make sure you keep your day job, if you will, for until you can you know, get it up.
That's what I did. I just jumped on Lee's coattails for a year and a half.
I know what Jeff's talking about. We opened up our business at the toughest time in 2007 in the housing banking industry and didn't pay ourselves for the first 7 months. All of our spouses were asking, was this what good idea was this? I'm confused here.
Yeah. This isn't how you described it.
So you have to have some staying power. I totally agree with
and
Jeff.
And a supportive network, right?
And a supportive spouse. Well,
it's called the Bank of Lopez Incorporated. Oh, wow.
So now, Jeff, is the SBDC, is that something that almost every business should have a relationship with? Like just a, you know, because there's always going to be a need at some point. It seems like it doesn't cost anything. It can only help. It seems like it should be part of your network.
Well, we would certainly hope that. SBDC, the Small Business Development Centers are, again, throughout the state. We're here to help you at any point along your journey, as we talked about. And, you know, I may help you today with marketing or something. I may not hear from you for 6-9 months, maybe longer than that. But, yeah, I'm on call. I'm on your team whenever you need me for whatever reason. So we should be part of your we would hope, just like the CPA and the attorney, you're going to have an SBDC consultant on your team to say, hey. And sometimes our clients call just to say, hey, I'm thinking about this, or I think I need to hire somebody, and sometimes we just listen.
Just like a sounding board.
That's exactly. An outside third party sometimes can shed light on a subject pretty quickly, and we do that a lot.
Now, should a company choose the one that's like nearest the university that where you're at? Like, how do you pick which one is appropriate?
We're customer centric, so if you want to do business with me, we'll take you on. But we do have various offices sprinkled throughout the metro and then throughout the state. So it's better for you to go to the one that's closest to you, because it's about relationship building, you want to be there and get to know that person, and hopefully they're in your neighborhood and you'll see them more often than not.
I think Jeff will tell you about his commute, so he wants to have people friends with him real close by.
Unfortunately, my renter's moved out, so I'm in a condo a long way away. But you do.
All
what
right,
you have
so
to do.
The tie connection.
Yep.
Walk us through the tie connection.
So like a lot of things, it just starts. It starts out sometimes with a plan, sometimes without a plan.
Right.
When I was a university professor teaching leadership out at the executive MBA program at Kennesaw State, we used to have the SBDC district director, Lydia Jones. Actually, she was the Kennesaw State director at the time. She would come in whenever we did our business planning sessions as a resource or as a judge. I got to know her. In fact, her son, who was at that time the Milton High School principal up in Alpharetta, went through our class, and we had her come and judge this particular plan as well with his teammates. So what happened is, when I joined TAI a couple of years ago and saw this missing piece to our strategy, where we really do try, much like SBDC, to take on any person who could be at the cycle where they're in a startup, pre-startup, all the way to the, you know, they've sold their business, they want to give back. And I said, let's try to figure out, how do we get the biggest ROI for what we want to do with the universities? And I thought, Lydia, would you like to start a partnership with us? And she said, let me check with my
state. Because they had the resources. It was an ongoing entity. So
I think Jeff will tell you that probably from a PR standpoint, it's a win-win-win. Right, Jeff?
Oh, absolutely. You know, the other thing, too, is we share in the, I think we share in the passion for what we're doing. But we also, the reason it was a good marriage is because we're both trying to impact entrepreneurs to build successful and sustainable businesses.
And it doesn't matter what age.
No, in fact, I think that our high school program, as you mentioned, I got to listen to these high schoolers 16, 17, 18 years ago, 2 years ago, and I was floored by the amount of good work being done in a very structured program. In fact, 2 Sundays ago, I took my Sunday afternoon and ended up teaching a class with them up in Gwinnett. They are so eager. One thing I will tell you, so I can go on a slight tangent, is that I think that the reason I'm passionate about it, and I hope our listeners will be as well, is we listen to the news radio and all you hear is about how the next generation
right.
is not hardworking and they don't have a great work ethic. Every time I meet with any students, whether they be high school or university, I am blown away that I truly believe that America is in a great shape for the 21st century.
Right.
These people want to work hard. They want to have you help them with and encourage them. And so in that regard, we've just been very lucky finding these universities who want to actually they're discovering entrepreneurship is a very viable career path. That is
right.
not to say it's in place of, it's just in addition to a corporate path.
Or just open your mind to the possibility.
Absolutely.
Instead of just think, oh, I got to go to school to get a job. I got to go to school to get a job. It's maybe choose your own job, make your own thing happen.
And the way our program's a little different than perhaps most of what are typically university competitions. University competition is it's essentially an academic teaching exercise.
Right.
I tell everybody, this is a real exercise. If all you want to do is get a grade and get a prize, this is not the right competition. If you want to actually go into business, meet real people,
right. it's not
get
the science
started,
fair, right?
you will discover that our program is real. You'll be talking
right.
to people who want to get you into business. In fact, another Tie member and I have said that if we want to invest into the best idea separate from the prizes, we want to take students. I will tell you, we had a turns out an African-American student out at Kennesaw State who competed in our competition, didn't mm-hmm. win a prize, but she left me a testimonial the other day that she actually runs a student-based tax preparation service that mm-hmm. also in turn ties them into financial aid. That's
right.
her differentiation. And she said that because of the tie competition and the way we helped her rethink her business in calendar 14, she doubled her revenue compared to 13, that she would not have done that without the networking she got through the Thai University program.
And for taking it seriously, like it's going
to
be real.
It
that
has
it
to
isn't
be.
Just some hypothetical, you know, theoretical
In
exercise.
Fact, she has asked us for a couple of ways to mentor her. Is number one is work on an exit strategy for her, perhaps even a franchising strategy,
mm-hmm.
But also help bring in some technology mentoring that we could do through some of our members that she can learn. Maybe there are smarter, more efficient ways to run her tax preparation business.
And what a marvelous tagline. It's not the science fair. That's great. You guys can have that free of charge.
Thank you.
But that's what this partnership with the SBDC makes so much sense, right? Because you have all the resources and all of the brain power at the ready to help her. You know, take the next step.
Well, it's both the SBDC, so we link with the many, many good resources within the SBDC consultancy resources, but then we also have several hundred Thai members,
right.
all of whom are just delighted to give back. I mean,
right.
this is really...
That's part of their...
This is what we do as a nonprofit.
Exactly.
We are just happy to... We just think that the world has as a pie that's unlimited. So
right.
the more we help others, the more the state will grow, the more business will grow, et cetera.
And there's evidence to support that, right? There are some stats that new business created, things like that. Do you have any of that, Jeff?
Well, I do the small business development centers throughout Georgia. I guess in the past 5 years have helped about 1,400 new businesses get started. So that's a pretty big number. Over 10,000 new jobs created. So we tout that quite proudly, and you mentioned mentorship and things like that. We also our clients tell us that they help them. We have helped them kind of double up on the average sales revenue from just a normal average customer, if you will. So we think we help them in many, many ways.
No, that's that's a meaningful number. That's important.
Yeah, the average client, according to the information that I'm given, maybe sales were $4.6 million or so, and we were able to help our clients double that, over
wow.
$8 million. So it's impactful. Again, that's why we like what we're doing with the Thai organization. This is our second year. I think we've formed a pretty good joint venture together here. They're passionate. We're passionate. We're kind of all in this together and making good impact across the state. I think, Dr. Lopez, you correct me if I'm wrong, but the SBDC folks help this particular competition that we're talking about coming up in the next few weeks, it pretty much makes it a statewide reach as opposed to maybe just a university-centric or...
I am delighted that not only do we typically get the Georgia Techs and the UGAs, right. but we're able to reach Armstrong State University in Savannah, or that we're able to reach Georgia Perimeter College that I might not have thought of reaching right. out to. So SBDC has gotten the marketing word for us out. And in turn, I'm very fortunate that the deans of the business school are starting to hear about this program as a way to help their students.
Right.
That's really what they're in for.
Absolutely.
So I think they'll become the third part of our triangle of partnership.
So now if somebody wants to learn more, where should they go for the... It's closed now for teams, or are you still...
For 2015, we're closed, but we will reopen each fall
right.
and therefore have the 2016 competition. I think the easy thing is I'm going to go out on a limb and say, drop me a text message or just call me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I could send you the website, but let's make it personal. That's what small business is about.
Sure.
Here's my cell number. Again, my name is Paul Lopez, cell number 404-643-7400.
How cool is that? The professor, the doctor, and with all this business experience says, text me your deets.
That's it.
You know, I've learned that I got to figure out how to be with these 20-somethings
right.
as well, right?
That's fantastic.
I can't be an old fogey. Yeah.
And Jeff, if somebody wants to learn more about the SBDC?
Well, the best way is to wander into one of our offices. There are 17 throughout the state, as we mentioned, but we do have a website, Georgia, spelled out, sbdc.org. There's class offerings on our website.
Oh, so like at any time, there's stuff going on, right?
There's all sorts of things to help the entrepreneur, but we're happy to help. Hit the website, call us. The number in your location should be on the website.
Good stuff. Well, and I think the website for Ty is ty-atlanta.org.
It's ty-atlanta.org, correct.
Right.
T-I-E is the acronym. So
right, but this is the T-Y-E program.
So inside the ty-atlanta.org, there is a button for T-Y-E, which mm-hmm. stands for Ty Young Entrepreneurs.
Right.
And that'll lead you to our sub-website, the left side of which is for high schoolers, which I care about a lot. I have grandkids in that stage, and on the right side of the TYE portion of the website
is the university program.
Well,
thank you both for doing what you do, because this is a great program, and more and more young adults should get involved and think about being an entrepreneur. Thank you.
Well, thank you.
Thanks.
This is Lee Cantor for Stone Payton. We will see you all next time on Atlanta Business Radio.